The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
We read two passages of Scripture this morning. The first is Leviticus 20, verses 10 through 22. Leviticus 20, and then we will turn to Deuteronomy 6. Leviticus 20, verse 10, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. Both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he shall discover her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. He shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out." Let's turn now to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, reading verses 1 through 9. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Thus far we read the sacred, inspired scripture this morning. It's on the basis of that portion of Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 6, which we read, that the Heidelberg Catechism gives to us its explanation of the seventh commandment in Lord's Day 41. Lord's Day 41, what doth the seventh commandment teach us? That all uncleanness is accursed of God. And that therefore we must, with all our hearts, detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in the single life. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, He commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, He forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sermon this morning is a baptism sermon preached on the occasion of the baptism of an infant of believers. The sermon this morning is also a Heidelberg Catechism sermon preached on Lord's Day 41 and the truth of the seventh commandment of God, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," which is God's positive demand for chastity. What's the connection between the baptism of a baby and chastity? The connection is that at baptism, we parents make a promise before God and His people that to the utmost of our power, we will instruct and bring up our children in the doctrines of Scripture. And that includes the doctrine of holiness. And now specifically, the truth of chastity according to the seventh commandment. We will teach our children chastity, which is sexual purity before God. In God's covenant and living in communion with God, we will teach our children that part of their thankful response to God is living a chaste and temperate life. We will teach our children that for God's sake and for the neighbor's sake, they must live in sexual purity. And they must not do anything to defile others, but desire that the neighbor also be chaste before God. Furthermore, we believe that because our children are the children of the covenant and sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are able to hearken unto this instruction. And they are able willingly to put it into practice in their lives. Chastity is the positive requirement of the seventh commandment. And God commands that we teach our children chastity. For He says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Teach them what? Everything God revealed to them through Moses. The whole book of the covenant, the whole book of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the commandments, all the statutes, all the precepts, all the ordinances, all the promises, all the wonderful works of God, teach them diligently unto thy children. And that includes the seventh commandment. And God's application of the seventh commandment that we read in Leviticus chapter 20, that also teach diligently unto thy children. In the seventh commandment, God is teaching us. It's interesting that the verb of choice for the Heidelberger in Lord's Day 41 is teach. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? Nowhere else is that verb used in connection with the explanation of a commandment. All of the other questions concerning the commandments use the verbs what doth God require or forbid or enjoin. But concerning the seventh commandment, the Heidelberger asks, what doth the seventh commandment teach us? God will teach us in the seventh commandment, and we, by the Holy Spirit, will very carefully teach our children chastity. And for Jesus' sake, God will in that way bless our homes and our church. So let's look at that subject this morning under the theme, teaching our children chastity. Three things. One, by our life. Two, by our instruction. Three, by our faith. Chastity is the devotion of the whole person, body and soul, unto God in sexual purity, whether as a husband or a wife in holy wedlock, or whether in the single life. Now let's begin by understanding that we parents will teach our children chastity. And apart from any conscious and deliberate instruction we give to them with words, whether we intend to or not, we are always teaching our children, and therefore we will teach our children chastity by our life, by our example. Let's notice then three ways in which we teach our children chastity by our life. First, we teach our children chastity by living in a biblically lawful marriage. The Bible condemns as unlawful the marriage of one to many. We call this polygamy. The Bible condemns as unlawful the union of one to another of the same sex. Society calls this gay marriage. Leviticus 20:13 calls this an abomination. For example, a man with a man. The Bible condemns as unlawful the marriage of one to another who is of near kin, one of his own family. For example, a man marrying his sister. Leviticus 20, verse 17 calls this a wicked thing. The Bible condemns as unlawful the remarriage of one to another after divorce. Almost the entire church world calls this lawful, and in most cases, a very good thing. Jesus calls it adultery. Matthew 5, verse 32, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. How could we ever teach our children sexual purity if our own marriage is unlawful, an abomination, adulterous, sexually defiled before God. For everything we would say to our children about chastity, we would be taking away by our life. Therefore, the first and most basic way that we parents teach our children chastity by our life or by our example is living in a biblically lawful marriage. One man, one woman, until death parts us. Secondly, we teach our children chastity by living in love for one another as husband and wife. This also is basic, very simple, very important. We fathers ought not to have to tell our children, "I love your mother, my wife." And we mothers, we ought not have to tell our children, "I love your father, my husband," in order for our children to know that we love our spouse. But it ought to be very evident, very obvious to all of the children in the home. Dad and mom love each other. They delight in one another. They talk to each other. They love to go away together. They exchange tokens and expressions of affection for one another. What does it mean if dad and mom do not love each other? If it's very obvious to the children, dad and mom do not love each other. What does that mean? Does dad have another lover? Does mom have another lover? Dad and mom have their smartphones. And we live in this digital age of sexting and easy access to pornography. Dad and mom don't love each other. What does that mean? Is mom or is dad? And I won't finish the sentence. Maybe you're squirming a bit at the application and the application given in the presence of children. I do want to remind you of the fact that God made some pretty pointed and explicit applications with regard to the seventh commandment in Leviticus chapter 20, and we read them. Talking about a man lying with his daughter-in-law or with a beast, or about a man uncovering the nakedness of his mother's sister. And I remind you that God made all of these applications in the presence of all Israel, including the children, through Moses. And then God said, you, parents, need to teach these things to your children. Now, I could wish I never had to make any pointed and explicit applications, and here, with regard to the seventh commandment, and even with our children in our midst, but sometimes when I hear of the fact that some of our teenagers in our schools and in our homes are getting caught with their cell phones sexting, then I think, you think this only happens among children, but never among parents? And so I make the application in love. And now let's go back to the question with regard to the seventh commandment. Dad and mom don't love each other. It's obvious. They don't love each other. And they don't love God because the Bible says if you don't love your neighbor whom you have seen, you can't love God whom you don't see. But what else does that mean with all of these passionate desires of their heart? If they're not aimed toward God and toward the spouse, then where are they aimed? What does it mean if dad and mom don't love each other in the home? Husbands, love your wives and cleave unto your wife. And wives, love your husbands and cleave unto your husband. And may the children see we love our spouse and cleave to our spouse. For in that way, we are teaching our children chastity. And if dad and mom don't love each other, and then try to sit down with their children and say, this is the chastity God requires of you, God might bless that instruction because God is so very merciful to poor children. But He will bless that instruction in spite of the hypocritical parents. Let us teach our children chastity by living in love for one another as husband and wife. And then third and finally, we teach our children chastity by living a life that is obviously blameless according to the seventh commandment. Meaning, children will not find dad and mom in the home watching on the television or the computer programs, videos, even advertisements that are unclean, sexually explicit as to words or images. It means children won't hear parents in the home listening to music that contains sexually unclean lyrics, or they won't hear the telling and laughing at dirty jokes. They won't find dad and mom reading literature that goes way beyond a sweet romance into the filthy fornication and fantasies that are written about to stir up lust in the reader. Without ever being told what chastity is, the young child grows up in the home learning about chastity simply by the fact that the parents are a good example and that they don't allow into the environment of the home that which the catechism calls uncleanness. Answer 108, that all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same. So then children find it normal that with regard to the seventh commandment and sexual purity, their father and mother live a blameless life before the seventh commandment, modeling by the power of grace the very behavior of the Lord Jesus Christ. We not only teach our children chastity by our life, how we live, our example, but we teach them chastity by instruction. That is, we will consciously and deliberately speak words to our children to train them in the way that they should go, as we sit with them in the house or as we walk with them by the way. Let's mention two main areas of instruction. First, the positive, and then second, the negative. First, and positively, godly parents will teach their children chastity by giving simple, careful instruction regarding the practice and principles of sex in what the Catechism calls holy wedlock. Regarding practice, when the children come to the appropriate age, the father will sit down in the house with his son or walk by the way with his son, and the mother will sit down in the house with her daughter or walk by the way with her daughter, and the parent will teach the child about his or her body And the basic function of his or her anatomy in this sensitive subject we are now addressing. And the parent will make sure to say, what I'm talking about to you right now is nothing embarrassing. It's not shameful. It's not dirty. You don't have to squirm. It's not something we have to smirk about. This is something beautiful and good that our wise Creator God in heaven made for marriage. Due to the nature of the subject, this parental instruction will be given privately, prudently, and prayerfully. Who will give this important instruction to the children of the covenant if the parents do not? The parents will give the instruction. Will the minister as a catechism teacher? No. Though he will carefully explain and apply the seventh commandment to the eighth and ninth graders in Heidelberg Catechism, he's not going to discuss the practice of intimacy in marriage. The doctor? No. Though he or she may have some helpful instruction concerning the body. Their friends? No. The government? No. The teacher in the school classroom? No. The world with all of its tools? No. The internet or a book the child stumbles upon? No. Though a parent may find some solid Christian literature that will be very helpful in addressing these matters, the pastor will teach the father that he will teach his son, and the pastor will teach the mother that she will teach her daughter, that it is their responsibility as parents to teach their children privately, prudently, prayerfully, and God blesses that instruction for Jesus' sake. Proverbs 5 verse 1 begins, "My son, attend to my wisdom," indicating that we have here in Proverbs chapter 5 the one-on-one instruction of a father to his son. Then verse 15 begins the instruction regarding this delicate but important subject. This is now father to son. "Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." All of this introductory parental instruction on practice will be given in the broad context of, and we'll continue with, this main positive principle of chastity. The principle is, my son, my daughter, you belong to God. He has redeemed you body and soul out of the house of bondage. And you confess in Lord's Day chapter 1 that you belong to your faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your body and in your soul. And we learn in Lord's Day 41, question and answer 109, that since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, because you belong to God who saved you in your body And in your soul, my son, my daughter, now, whether you are single, whether you are dating, whether you are married, your body and every part of it, and your soul is God's. Not your own, God's. To be used in harmony with His will and for the glory of His name. And not until you do get married. May you enter into the pleasures of the intimacy that God designed for marriage. Practice and principle. That parents will teach their children. But there's more. In addition to the positive instruction, there will also be instruction in the negative. That is, parents will teach their children chastity by giving many warnings against defilement. In line with this concluding statement of the Catechism, therefore God forbids not only adultery as such, but God forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. As to actions and gestures, it is always good to warn the youth of the covenant, and parents will, particularly in dating, reminding their dating son or daughter what you do in darkness, what you do in secret. It is all open before the eyes of your God. In the digital age with phones and laptops and tablets and all of the devices, parents will not have their heads in the sand, but they will monitor, especially how their young people use their cell phones, talking with them regularly about the dangers and the traps of sexual defilement. As to words, parents will warn against and even discipline little children for having a dirty mouth. A dirty mouth. As the children get bigger, parents will continue to warn them about telling and laughing at dirty jokes, finding humor in what is filthy. And when the children grow up and go off into the workplace, and they might discover that many of the co-workers have a very dirty mouth, and they like to talk and joke about things that they ought not, then the parents will be willing to talk with their children about how to deal with this, what to do and what to say, and if necessary, maybe even get another job. Actions, gestures, words. Now, as to thoughts and desires, we parents can continually teach our children that we can't see into your heart, but God can. And He knows what you're thinking. Let's remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 5, verse 28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, that's a heart activity, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires. Finally, the Catechism speaks of whatever can entice men thereto. That is, behavior that excites others to lust. Here, parents also will warn. And now with regard to dress, apparel, warning especially their daughters against going out of the house, and not merely for Sunday worship, though that first of all, but also for any occasion in immodest apparel. We don't have to become extremists and insist that our children, our daughters, wear black or heavy denim dresses that cover every square inch of skin from the bottom of the chin to the top of the toe. But parents who let their daughters wear whatever they want, and in some cases almost nothing, are not teaching their children chastity at precisely the point where God will have us teach our children chastity. That is, as it concerns their dress. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 exhorts women to adorn themselves in modest apparel. The young women of the covenant who grow up and dress scantily and parade around with almost nothing on, in a manner unworthy of the gospel, they're not going to get from the mature, pious, godly saints of the church all kinds of whistles and flattery and exclamations, "Isn't she a fine-looking woman?" Some might do that, but not the mature, godly saints of the church. She is going to get herself a bad name, though. And maybe the church also a bad name. So we want to discuss dress and warn against uncleanness as to apparel and that which entices others to lust. Another subject is dancing. If godly reformed parents will not only reject common grace and all of the influences of the world as to principle, but also reject common grace and all of the influences of the world with regard to practice, then they will want to continue to resist what godly reformed parents throughout history have always tried to resist, and that is the introduction of the social dance. For example, at gatherings like a wedding reception where the subtle music is played in the background or the loud pulsating music in the foreground and the men and women are out on the dance floor and the music is designed to get them moving and grooving and looking and gesturing suggestively. The social dance does not entice any man to hunger after righteousness, but another woman's flesh. And parents will have something to say about this also to their children as they grow up and as they talk about marriage. In all these warnings regarding defilement before the seventh commandment, not only concerning adultery itself, the Catechism calls a gross sin, but also concerning all these unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Two things, very briefly, will always be repeated by the parents. Number one, this is serious. Serious. Adultery, sexual uncleanness brings to ruin. We're not talking about something minor here. This is serious. One foolish decision could lead to years of sorrow. If anyone gets ensnared in sin against the seventh commandment, there will eventually be loss of honor and loss of health and loss of peace and loss of relationships and loss of life. This is serious. My son, Paul says to his son in the gospel, the young Timothy, my son, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. This is serious. But then secondly, the negative warning against defilement is never sufficient. So we always come full circle and go back to the positive. My son, my daughter, you've been saved by God, body and soul, to give your body and your soul unto God. You live for God. And so we teach our children chastity by our life and by our instruction. And now finally, also we teach them by our faith. The faith that God has so graciously given to us. We teach them as we believe that we have sinned and failed in our calling before God and that we're sorry as parents. No one here has attained perfect chastity of life. No parent has given perfect instruction in chastity. talking of it when sitting in the house or when walking by the way. Who here has written chastity perfectly in every post of the house and every gate of the yard? We have fallen, we have failed, we have sinned. And by faith we believe that we have sinned against God and fallen short of His glory, and therefore we are sorry and we confess our sins. We do that. And if we failed our children, we tell them that we're sorry. I haven't been a good example to you. I'm sorry. I haven't taught you diligently as I must. I'm sorry. And this too is a very important aspect of our teaching of the children. First, we believe we've sinned, and where we've sinned, we say so and say, I'm sorry. Secondly, we teach our children chastity through our faith by trusting that there's pardon and power in Jesus. We need pardon for any of our sins against the seventh commandment, whether in deed or in heart. And where we have sinned against the seventh commandment, we do not continue in that sin, covering it up and lying and self-justifying and shifting the blame. We do not continue in our sin, but nor do we despair of God's mercy, as if it's all hopeless and I could never be a parent in the covenant because I'm not a perfect parent, but we trust God that there's pardon in Jesus Christ to wash away. Baptism was the picture of it this morning, to wash away all those sins of defilement so that we can have a clear conscience before God and even sit in His house and hear instruction on the seventh commandment. And through Jesus Christ and the pardon we have in Him, have a clear conscience. I'm washed in Christ. We believe that. And we believe there's power in Jesus. Power to be more holy before the seventh commandment and in faithfulness in teaching our children. Grace doesn't breed licentiousness. It never does. The grace of pardon doesn't breed licentiousness in parents who say, I can continue as I please. Grace breeds a desire for more grace. The grace of pardon breeds a desire for the grace of power to live as God commands. And when we trust Jesus for pardon and power, we're teaching our children a very important truth regarding chastity. Jesus is your strength. Do not rely upon yourself. Do not be foolish. You will stumble and fall. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Purity doesn't arise out of some fountain within you by nature, but in the regenerating spirit of the crucified and risen Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways before the seventh commandment, acknowledge Him, God, and He will direct your path. And then thirdly and finally, we not only believe we've sinned, we not only believe there's pardon and power in Jesus, we believe, and in this we're teaching our children chastity, we believe that there's blessing in the way of obedience to this command. For Jesus' sake, God not only gives chastity, but God gives a blessing with it. There is in the personal life a clean conscience. There is in the family life harmonious relationships, peace. There is in the congregation unity and the ability to be a light and a witness to those who are without. Our children come to learn that defilement is the way of misery and loss, while chastity is the way of blessedness and happiness for everyone. God is not only the source of our chastity, God, so that we can be pure and He can preserve us until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. But God is also the source of our parental resolve at baptism, that we will teach our children diligently all these things, Deuteronomy 6, including chastity. So in His strength, we go forth. To God be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, which is our light in a world of darkness. And when we live apart from Thy Word, we very quickly forget how comprehensive is the whole body of truth that we must be teaching our children. We quickly move through the days and through the weeks, and to our dismay, we can easily find we're falling so very short. So we're thankful that there's instruction, that there's catechism instruction for all of us, and that like the people of Israel before Moses, we can be reminded of what are all these things we ought to be teaching our children. So Lord, apply Thy Word to our hearts this morning. Forgive us where we failed. Give us peace that we are right with Thee through the Lord Jesus. And we earnestly pray that our children in this wicked world of all manner of sexual defilement, of abominable and gross practices, of perversity and confusion in the matter of sexuality, in this dark world, Thou wilt preserve pure our sons and our daughters. And as they grow up, preserve them in the single life. And if they enter into holy wedlock, preserve them in marriage. O God of the covenant, and do that for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen.